In America, we're all created equal. Extremists close the doors of opportunity, strike down affirmative action, attack the values of diversity, equality, and inclusion. I never thought when I was graduating in 1968, as your honoree just was, we talked about, I never thought I'd be in a present of time when there's a national effort to ban books, not to write history, but to erase history. They don't see you in the future of America, but they're wrong. To me, we make history, not erase it. We know Black history is American history. Many of you graduates don't know me, but check my record. You know what I'm saying. I mean from my gut. We know Black men are going to help us lead us to the future. Black men from this class, in this university. But graduates, this is what we're up against. Extremist forces aligned against the meaning and message of more.
So that's Biden over at his address that he's giving. Over at his address that he's giving at Morehouse. And he's going out for the vote. He's going out for, it's just a pandering minority vote. That's what he's trying to do. And I don't know if that actually accomplishes anything. Maybe it does in the context of dumb college kids that are protesting in favor of Hamas and everything else on college campuses. But I mean, when people are looking at what they're paying, when they're looking at their bank accounts, when they're looking at inflation, no one gives a rat's ass about these identity politics. And I'm so damn tired of Democrats going to the same well every single election and doing this every time. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. The radio program, number one in the afternoons. Everyone else is a pretender. I'll say it. But, we should be proud because you built it. You built it. So welcome. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show as well. On channel 347 DirecTV. You can watch us on X. You can watch us everywhere else. But I listened to some of this speech and I was looking at the transcript of it also. And it's so insulting. I don't know how anyone doesn't think that it's insulting to see this kind of stuff. And for this to be your commencement address, like for the president of the United States, like that to be your commencement address, it's just incredibly insulting. And so I don't know. I listened to it and I would have got up and walked right out. Because I mean, you have this old white man who literally eulogized the leader of the KKK back in the early 2000s. If everyone has forgotten that already, that desiccated old man, Robert Byrd, who, I mean, literally was like, what was he, a grand lizard or whatever the hell they are within the Klan. He's basically, what's his face? Nick Fuentes' wet dream. The twink who streamed porn while he's red-pilling all of these conservative people wanting to come up. That's a whole other topic. But you have this Joe Biden who eulogized a Klan leader who was for segregation in schools. That's how he got his start when he was in this, when he was in elected office. He was pro-segregation and he's on video saying he didn't want his kids to grow up in a racial jungle. This guy who's going to historically Black universities and trying this line, the guy who said you're not Black if you don't vote for me. I mean, good grief. It's purely stunning the way that they want that one party in this country wants to rewrite history. So I don't know. I can't believe that was a commencement address. It just seems so lame. That's your commencement address. It's all racial identity. You're not being celebrated about your merit or your academics or your accomplishments, your achievements, everything that you've done, all the good things that you did when you were in school. You're being celebrated for something that you can't help, your skin color. That's the only thing that's just an insulting, condescending, inherently racist remarks that he gave at that. But again, you know why he did it. He did it because Democrats are in trouble. They're in trouble with, I saw some polling we're going to get into. They're in trouble. They're in trouble with voters. They're in trouble, for instance, in Florida and Arizona. I found this fascinating. So this was a CBS poll, right? It's a CBS poll. And believe it or not, voters don't care about what Democrats have to say as it pertains to abortion and as it pertains to, what is it, the women's stuff and all of this. They don't care about the identity politics. In fact, what CBS, and I'm pulling this up now, what they noted, and this was in Arizona and Florida particularly, and the reason why they chose these two states is over abortion laws, right? So they were looking at Arizona. And Biden, according to CBS, it's almost within the margin of error. I think it's too close when you're Donald Trump and you're going against Joe Biden, who is the worst president on God's green earth. I mean, the guy is one of the worst presidents on the earth ever that we've ever had in this country. Historically, he's a horrific leader. He wraps himself up in the veneer of patriotism and democracy and does neither. He's trailing in Arizona by 5 points. And so now they're really trying to push abortion, right? They keep pushing abortion rights. So this was a focus that they had in Arizona, except when Arizona voters, according to the CBS News poll, when they were surveyed about this, they don't care about it. They don't care about abortion. They don't care. In fact, all of the policies they care about the most are jobs, the economy, and immigration. That's it. All of the pushing, everything that Democrats did to get them to care, they don't care. That's not their, they're not buying the hard sell of abortion is more important than inflation. It said, CBS News poll, abortion access finds wide support, but inflation and immigration concerns boost Trump in Arizona and Florida. It's not working because they can't, but that's what they're trying to fearmonger people on it. Because they can't, I mean, Biden's position on immigration is abysmal. Inflation is abysmal. What else is he going to run on? So they have to go back to race. They have to revert to race. They have to revert to identity politics. This survey, and it's by a pretty large margin, and that nobody cares. Those aren't, even though that's what they've been focusing the most on. Remember how I told you the early ad buys with the Biden campaign have been ad buys for like abortion and all of that stuff. They don't care about that here. It's not working. What are Democrats going to do if they can't get voters to bite that? I don't know. I think voters are already tired of the riots and protests that they saw everywhere with the college kids. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not quite sure, but they're done with it. Interesting. So that's a very fascinating. I thought that was a survey that you would find quite interesting this morning. Now, I would venture that as more issue-based surveys start coming in, and this was, I think, a genuine effort by CBS and the entity with which they partnered. I think it was a genuine effort to try to measure and say, look at this, but it's abortion. It's a CBS YouGov poll. I mean, it's just a little oversampled, but it's not, you know, not enough to, I think, change the narrative. There's only a margin of error by 3.5. But, I mean, when they were asking about immigration in Arizona, when they were asking about inflation, and especially, look, the number of Hispanic voters that are saying that this administration and his position on immigration policies made it worse, that's actually increased since 4 years ago. That's very interesting, because Arizona is going to be a slap fight. And no thanks to the Senate candidate who's not helping herself. It's going to be a slap fight. Everything can, because we got to maintain some kind of margin in the Senate. It's going to be a hell of a fight with the House. We're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come. But Democrats cannot keep denying what their own voters are concerned about. They can't deny what voters at large are concerned about, but they can't deny what their own base is concerned about. When you're not even in touch with what your base is prioritizing, you got problems. And a lot of these voters, if you look at some of the insider polls that have leaked out, or the internal polls rather, Democrat voters, they're a little nervous about the state of the economy. And that's one of the reasons why you see, particularly in these blue wall states, you see these voters that are starting to lean towards, they're just not really into Biden. This is going to be fascinating to watch. Democrats need to right this ship, because it's not just Republicans that need to get messaging right. Democrats this is the party in power. They've got to get messaging right. There was more information that came out over just the economy, for instance. Wall Street Journal had a couple of pieces on the economy and how viewers how voters were viewing it, because their memories aren't so short that they forgot what it was like under the previous president, right? And that's kind of when some of these Democrat candidates, when they come out there, they're asking voters to choke that back and just sort of forget about that. And just, oh, no. Wall Street Journal, though, they were comparing Trump v. Biden and how the Dow's performance compared, respectively, and it was bad. The adjusted for inflation is bad. That was a very, very bad graph that they had put out, that the Wall Street Journal had put out. Adjusted for inflation, household net worth was up just 0.7% through Biden's first 3 years. It was up by 16% through Trump's first 3 years. You can't lie to people about this. You can't. We're going to talk more about this coming up, because this is what Republicans need to be hammering so badly. A couple of other things to hit. This is funny. I was just endlessly amused by this. Senator Patty Murray tweeted over the weekend, quote, "Women are more likely than men to get seriously injured in car crashes, in part." Now, wait a minute. Before you guess why, this is what she says. She continues, "in part because vehicle safety features haven't been designed for them." What? And they're talking about crash test dummies, because apparently now the fight over men and women has to go to crash test dummies. I don't even understand. They can't even define what a woman is, and they're bitching and moaning over crash test dummies. But my whole point is that maybe it's because women drive like crap. And wait, what is even a woman? Do they even know? How do you even address this issue? She wants to introduce legislation for female crash test dump. I don't know. I don't understand. What do you mean vehicle safety features haven't been designed for women? Stop making up controversies where no controversy exists. We have enough problems in our country right now. We don't have to sit here and start, oh my gosh, our crash test dummies are being suppressed. Oh, it's so bad. We're going to talk more about this. Just let you know what else we have on deck for you today. Did you guys know that bridges are magical in Florida? I'm going to explain to you the story of a magical bridge in Florida. Truly. It was the source of a huge fight over the weekend and towards last week. I will explain. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss the Iranian leader who was killed. Oh, his helicopter crash. So fun.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
James Madison writes in Federalist 51 that men are not angels. Their passions and self-interest often get the better of their reason and sense of justice. So we need government in order to protect our rights against those who would take them away. But for the same reason, Madison writes, government must be limited, because people in government have passions and interests too. Many Americans today forget this. Supposing that we can do away with constitutional limits on government, supposing that the unelected bureaucrats being put in charge of our health care, for example, will rule as if they are angels. If Madison was correct about human nature, this is foolish and dangerous.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I'm trying to figure out how in the world Red Lobster goes so broke. They're closing. We told you last week they're filing. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. They've closed 100 restaurants across America in 27 states. And they said, yes, it's been with rising lease and labor costs. But you know the big deal? Because this one would be easy to be like, well, it's Biden's inflation. But you know what? There's something else to it. Do you know what it was? It was the all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet. It killed them. The all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet broke Red Lobster. So then that brings up a question that nobody has answered. They said it cost the owners $500 million to do their $20 endless shrimp deals. So how much were people eating where you break the restaurant with your all-you-can-eat shrimp deal? That's wild. I don't know. Prosecutors are planning to drop the charges against Scottie Scheffler early next week after the shocking arrest at the PGA Championship. He he complied, and he was, it had nothing to do with him. He was trying to get and get ready to go and tee off at a PGA. And we told you last week he was pinned against a police car and thrown in a cell after a huge misunderstanding when he tried to enter the premises of a club, ended up dragging an officer because the officer apparently jumped on his car, which I don't know why. And I guess things maybe weren't communicated. I don't know. It seems nuts. And the reason I say this and I'm leaning towards Scheffler is because a lot of the witnesses who saw what happened said that it was chaotic and confusing and that clear instructions weren't given and nobody knew what was going on. So that, you know, I get it. NYPD is going to start using drones as first responders on 911 calls. This seems like it's dangerous. And I also feel like it's free drones for people, right? They're going to be having drones accompany these 911 calls throughout the city. It's their drone as first responder pilot program. So this comes after their subway bots that were hugely unsuccessful. And didn't they have robot dogs that were hugely unsuccessful? They keep doing this stuff that doesn't work in Manhattan. So I guess they said they're going to deploy these drones in response to certain 911 calls in Brooklyn, the Bronx. They said they're choosing precincts based on crime trends. But they didn't actually say like what would be, you know, the leading consideration for this. This was sad. Alice Stewart, a political commentator over at CNN, apparently she was out and they said no foul play. Someone had said one of the reports was that she had fallen and hit her head. It was said because she's 58 years old. She was kind of a token moderate sort of conservative at CNN. But that's just wild. I met her a couple of times. She was always nice. And that Nick Fuentes guy was caught streaming gay porn live, apparently. Apparently he was caught while at the end of his stream. So can we stop idolizing Nazi twinks? That would be great. Thanks. We got more on the way. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared. And Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. And you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping. And that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up. Your ammunition builds up over time. And it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse. And it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in, 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up, you have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I can also confirm today that I have reasonable grounds to believe, on the basis of evidence collected and examined by my office, that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Minister of Defense Yoav Gallant bear criminal responsibility for the following international crimes committed on the territory of the State of Palestine from at least the 8th of October 2023. The crimes include starvation of civilians as a method of warfare, willfully causing great suffering, serious injury to body or health, or cruel treatment, willful killing or murder, and intentionally directing attacks against a civilian population.
Someone needs to tell this poof what war is. That's the British prosecutor, Karim Khan, who, as the International Clown Court, the ICC, slamming the country of Israel and accusing them, saying that they requested an arrest warrant over war crime accusations because they defended themselves on October 7th or October 8th. That's exactly what happened. They defended themselves against the horrific terror attack. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. They went after their defense minister, Netanyahu, and he mentioned kind of a couple of Hamas leaders, but the thrust of the accusation and the request for an arrest warrant was towards Israel, which is wild. He says, oh, these are for war crimes and crimes against humanity, et cetera, et cetera. And the things that he listed are things that Hamas has actually done to its own people, that Israel went in to get hostages and to also stop Hamas, which has been waging war for over 20 years and starving its own people. The ICC had nothing to say, this absolute bunch of clown carts. They had nothing to say at all whatsoever when Hamas was starving its own people and taking their own resources. I mean, it's the same conversation. The ICC is a joke of an organization that should be laughed out of existence. And if we had a proper right world, they would be bullied out of this lifespan. But that's just me. But for them to react this way, because, you know, self-defense, no, they don't care about self-defense. It's not about self-defense. They want to create a little Nazi court. That's what this is. And then the UN Security Council earlier, they actually held a moment of silence for the late president of Iran. We're going to talk about that new worm food now, the butcher of Tehran. So this is what these international bodies are doing. The International Criminal Court is a joke in so much as that it thinks that it has effective and reaching legal influence, and it does not. The ICC has no influence here. The ICC has no relativity, nothing here. There is nothing that the ICC can do. It is a joke organization of clowns that have no idea. These people are all about whatever it takes to be apologists to terrorists. They want to create a little Nazi communal. That's what they want. They want a little tribunal of little fascists, little Nazis, little tyrants. And that's what the ICC exists to serve entirely, just like the United Nations, which is a sham organization also. But they're going after the audacity of going after Hamas. Why? I'm not going to pretend that Hamas hasn't been doing any of this stuff. This is started because Hamas started it. No one has been denied. I saw a couple of clowns earlier today that were saying, oh, it's horrific that people can't condemn the war crimes. What do you mean war crimes? The war crimes that Hamas started when they were putting IEDs in women's vaginas as weapons of war. They were using rape as weapons of war. When they were cutting the breasts off of women, raping them to death in front of their families, when they were cutting the arms off of the fathers in front of their children, when they weren't kidnapping the babies. Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Torture and this butchery, because that's what was happening. But they didn't say anything about it then. And you know how what they do to get out of it? They say, oh, well, Hamas isn't a signatory to this ICC agreement. But yet they pretend that Palestine, which is a fake country that's never existed anywhere in antiquity, exists, though. You see, they try to have it both ways. These people excuse the horrors that Hamas committed under the flag of colonization. Their colonization. And this Karim Khan, who is this guy that gets up there and expects to have any kind of scope or legitimacy? Who are these clowns that get into these international bodies? It's wild. But they said, yes, they want to charge them with war crimes. I would think the war crime, again, is what Hamas did. But that word was not used until Israel defended itself. Imagine the United States after World War II being called a war criminal because we defended ourselves against Imperial Japan. Imagine that. Now in Iran, Pakistan said their flags are going to fly half-mast as they mourn the Iranian president. I'm just wondering if we can fly our flags higher. The butcher of Iran is dead. He was his body was recovered from the scene of a helicopter crash. This guy was an absolute murderer. He had actual rape prisons. He executed thousands of people. They would have a trial that would last a minute. Not kidding. And he had these torture chambers in which women were kept in chains and they were raped. 1,500 Iranians were slaughtered in the 2019 protests on his watch. This is the guy who is dead from a helicopter crash. And from what I've heard and what I've seen from the videos, etc., apparently they flew right into a very, I mean, the helicopter took off and apparently it was very foggy conditions. And even at the site wherein they were recovering his body, it looked really, really foggy and it looked like visibility was very poor. So it just goes to show you, you know, that apparently he had a stupid helicopter pilot. But, you know, it served us well because he's worm food now. No, this guy, you remember the 2019 protests. You guys remember the protests before then. There were members of the European Union, not the EU as a whole, because there were some member nations that did condemn it. But there were some who were saying, oh, it's our condolences. The NATO spokesperson said that she has condolences to the people. The people of Iran are celebrating with fireworks. Fireworks were lighting up their streets. People were celebrating. Women were throwing off their head coverings. I don't know why these people need to pretend to go through this performative grief of saying that they feel so bad. This guy was a demon and hell got another one. Horrific, horrific, horrific monster. I was reading this. He was one of four members of what they called a death committee. Ibrahim Raisi. He was going to succeed the next Khamenei as their supreme leader. And in 1988, he was one of four members of a death committee responsible for the execution of thousands of prisoners of conscience, people who spoke out against the regime. They were thrown into prison. Their trials would last a minute, and then they were executed. You want to talk about genocide? The ICC accuses Israel of war crimes for defending itself, but they were mum on all of this. Even in 2019. I mean, it was an absolute massacre. Some of the prisoners that he murdered were children, young children. He would ask them questions to test their allegiance to radical Islam, and if they got it wrong, he murdered them. Little kids. The estimate, they can't get an actual number of how many people he murdered. They think it could be 30,000 because they used firing squads. They hung them. I mean, there's still a lot of information that people don't know because they were hiding. I mean, a lot of the families of these murdered people don't even know. They don't even know where their loved ones' remains are. They said that they used forklifts every half hour to hang people and they would dump the bodies. And they said virgins, if they found out a woman was a virgin, she was brutally raped before her execution. And because they said that they wanted to do that to prevent them from reaching heaven. And those who were executed, according to written accounts, they were to write their names on their own hands before they were executed. This is who was killed in the helicopter crash today. Yesterday. He exalted violence. He thought it was holy. Torture was holy. Murder was holy. Execution was holy. Rape was holy. This doesn't sound like a religion. It sounds like worship of a devil. And he was sanctioned back in 2019 on the 40th anniversary of when 50 Americans had been taken hostage for 444 days. Tablet Magazine had to write up on this. And the sanctions were a set of sanctions that were supposed to hit his inner circle, and they were layered on, and a lot of it was illicit financing and money laundering and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And the Trump administration pushed the sanctions. The Biden administration, Biden Obama, they didn't want these sanctions on Iranians. They didn't want sanctions on Iran. They didn't want sanctions on Raisi. Iranians have been struggling for a peaceful overthrow of their government. They have a very, very corrupt, I don't even think it's a theocracy. I can't use the word theocracy to describe something that is not a legitimately religious entity. I can't imagine anything that would sanction that kind of torture and that kind of violence and call it holy. And so this is who they're mourning today. Pakistan said they're lowering their flag. They're going to half mast. I want to raise ours higher. And they said that they had a lot of security forces out because they said now that some of the resistance groups say, well, you're going to see a lot of reaction, rebellious. You could see a trigger. It could trigger a civil war. That's one of the things that they're worried about. They say that the helicopter crash is a huge blow to the regime because this guy was being groomed to be the next dude, the next supreme leader. And a lot of people already hate this regime. And so now they could be seen opportunities. The National Council of Resistance of Iran said that the crash was an irreparable blow. And I don't know if they have someone. I'm sure they got, you know, another. They don't have anybody else to step up as instantly. But they took it off, apparently, because a lot of people were wondering, well, who took it out? Everybody hates Iran. Everybody hates this guy. But actually, it really looks like the helicopter took off in low visibility and they just weren't able to do it and crashed in the side of a mountain. It's super foggy. All of the photos, like they were having trouble locating the crash scene, getting to it, going through it. It's super foggy. So it seems like, you know, don't think that there's some sort of conspiracy theory there when it looks like it was stupidity that took him out. They had two pilots and three other Iranian officials. So I'm curious, what this would be a really good time to step up sanctions, I think. This would be a great time to do that. Whether or not that triggers, though, a war, we're going to talk to Stephen Yates about that. That'll be one of the questions that I ask. Coming up, do you guys know bridges are magical? I told you this. So there was this bridge in Florida that glows red, white, and blue. And during Pride Month, these activists were trying to make it glow rainbow. And they were acting as though if the bridge doesn't glow rainbow, then that means that the gays are, the bridge will magically stop gay people from being gay. I don't know. That's just what I'm to infer. We're going to discuss this and more as we roll Gold Co. Precious Metals. You have over at Gold Co. Gold Co. is, they want to make it easy for you to actually access gold and silver to make sure that you have a hedge against inflation. Protect your savings. It's a volatile economy. You don't want to wait around to find out how bad things could get. So add gold and silver. Protect yourself with Gold Co. They make it easy. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this show. And they have thousands of five-star reviews. They've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. They're all about education first. They want to make sure that you understand the economy and of how gold IRAs work. And that makes it easier for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. So this is a super important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. Transparent, honest, no pressure. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You can see the kicker because he doesn't have the pads because he doesn't tackle anybody or get tackled. But, you know, he was telling men to don't forget to puff up your chest and be more masculine. Don't lose your masculinity. The irony was that when he was saying that, he looked like such a There's nothing more masculine than a strong man supporting a strong woman. Take that.
Why does Eddie Vedder think that being a mother is an attribute of weakness? Because that's what I get out of this marble mouth moron. Somebody was joking and saying, did he actually say anything or was it just Ledbetter? I don't know. Welcome back. There was Eddie Vedder who was going after Harrison Buckers because Eddie Vedder is never one to miss the opportunity to chase relevancy by trying to say something stupid about politics at a show. And he decides that he's going to go after Harrison Buckers, who I don't know if he didn't listen to what Harrison Buckers said. Harrison Bucker did not denigrate women, but I'll tell you something. I'm so sick and damn tired of hearing these like marble ass mouth boomers like Eddie Vedder run out on stage and act like motherhood is an attribute of weakness. Because when you sit here and say that what Bucker said was a denigration of women, what you're saying, because that's not what Bucker said at all. In fact, he saved his harshest words for men and the responsibilities of men. If anyone wants to extricate their heads from their backsides to re-listen to his remarks, anyone who sits here and says that what Bucker said was in any way offensive towards women is themselves, without realizing it because they're limited in intellectual capacity, denigrating motherhood and associating it with weakness. I am so tired of men and women on the left acting like being a mother is a sign of weakness or wanting to stay home and raise kids is a sign of weakness. I've seen politicians say it. I've seen celebrities act like it. And they sit here and think that somehow it is of keeping a woman or it's preventing a woman from fulfilling her dreams. But what these fat cows always forget is that sometimes a woman maybe wants to make a choice that's different from that than the matriarchy. And that doesn't mean that it is a weakness. It doesn't mean that it's a betrayal. It means that it is her choice. You anti-choice, you absolute anti-choice witches. I don't know what else to say. I get so tired of it. When he's like, oh, well, there's nothing more masculine than a strong man supporting a strong woman. Why do you insist that taking care of a family is weak? Why do you act like staying home is weak? The progressive left has done more to advance that narrative than anybody they've ever criticized, because they're always the ones who make it look like it's a weakness and that it is a second-class job or that it is plan B or that it's JV, when in fact it's the most important thing. And I think they're just mad because Harris and Bucker stole their thunder and said what we all knew from the get-go and what they have been too sexist to admit from the beginning. Screw these people. I've never liked Eddie Vedder. All his songs sound the same, and I'm never going to forgive him for an entire generation of cover singers all sounding like that. Oh my gosh. Unable to articulate a single word. Steve, DJ Fun Uncle, you better be glad that you like weren't around during that era. You'd have been spinning that kind of trash. We got a lot more on the way. Second hour coming up. Stick with us. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. And this is the third generation, not the Gen 3. It's been shipping now. It's a 9mm carbine, and it's easy to store, easy to deploy, super accurate, and it's fun on the range. It's a, like I said, 9mm carbine. Previously, with the other iterations, you had to take your optics off, but you do not with the Gen 3 version. No more attaching and reattaching your favorite optics, because with a simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend, the whole thing folds in half, optics and all. It accepts Glock mags, Glock 19s, fit flush, Glock 17, and stick mags with the mag going past the grip, all fits. And redesigned trigger mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull. The action's been updated, easier to rack. The internal buffer means softer recoil. It's just a great carbine for the whole family. And it's made right in America, family-owned, Florida-based, values at their best. To learn more about Kel-Tec Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And tell them Dana sent you.
Grew up in Texas, and I don't know if you've heard, but the state of Texas is attempting to shut down a Catholic charity on the border with Mexico that offers undocumented migrants humanitarian assistance. What do you think of that?
That is madness, sheer madness. To close the border and leave them there, that is madness. The migrant has to be received. Thereafter, you see how you're going to deal with them. Maybe you have to send them back. I don't know. But each case ought to be considered humanely, right?
So that's the Pope being asked about the entity. And I've been down to the border, and I've actually talked with that organization down at the border. And they are in violation of law because it's not about assisting refugees. It's about assisting people in bypassing the proper and legal way to enter the country. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast to the radio program. You can also watch the simulcast everywhere that you can stream it, including X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. Let me tell you something about, first off, the Catholic charities down there. Like I've said, I've been down there. I've had some harsh words publicly with some of the people down there because I saw exactly what was happening. There are people who are just brought in that are not seeking refugee status. They're not refugees. They just want a fast track to enter. And they are processed by that group, and they claim to do it under good Christian charity, but it's behind the veneer of good Christian charity that lawlessness is taking place. And I think that when you're misrepresenting something, you're lying about it, and that is a sin. So don't operate sinfully and then say that you're being the hands and feet of God, because that's not correct. Number two, I've also been to the Vatican, and I had to go through a bunch of security to get into the Vatican. He thinks it's madness, the Pope, to enter into a country lawfully. He thinks it's madness. I went to the Vatican last year. I had to go through an x-ray scan. What is it? The x-ray machine. I had to stick my stuff through an x-ray machine. I had to go through I don't know how many security checkpoints to get in, because you can't just walk in to the Vatican. You can access some parts of the courtyard outside, but you can't just walk into the Sistine Chapel. You can't just walk in to the Vatican. You can't just walk into St. Peter's. It's not like that at all. And you, that's pure madness, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to pay anything. You shouldn't have to purchase a ticket. You shouldn't have to do anything like that. And you should be able to just walk in, right? Do whatever you want. Stay however long you want. Madness. I also had to keep my shoulders covered, and I could not have any attire above the knee, whether it's a dress or a skirt or pants or anything. And the same goes for men. Men were not allowed to wear hats in certain parts of the Vatican. And they had to keep, if they had tattoos, they had to keep them entirely covered. I watched one man be turned away at a security checkpoint because he had tattoos visible on his forearm. And I watched another woman be stopped at a checkpoint because they didn't think her shawl was going to adequately cover her shoulders. Pure madness, right? Just madness. You should let the migrants come, right? You should let the people go to God where they seek him, right, Pope? I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going to keep consistency, I just think for the sake of consistency, maybe we should be consistent. So I'm just curious about that. Why is there, you know, if it's madness to expect people to enter legally at the southern border. And again, I've had the benefit of being at both of these places. I've literally been at the Catholic Charities down in McAllen, Texas. I've literally been at their processing facilities down in McAllen, Texas. I've literally argued with a nun down in McAllen, Texas, who was with Catholic Charities. And then I argued with one of their assistants on Twitter some years ago who was working with Catholic Charities. I watched as people were brought in. I know that some of those people there have relationships with coyotes because they're able to get people in and be able to get tipped off, and they know where to go even before Border Patrol does. And you're going to sit here and tell me that that's somehow godly because you're assisting the criminal activity of the cartel? You think that you're operating as the hands and feet of God? Seriously? You're enriching the cartel while you're simultaneously finger wagging at all of the Americans who sit slack jawed in shock that you're actually assisting a criminal entity in the name of Jesus? Seriously? Get behind me, Satan. This is wild. That's madness. I've seen this in my own church. Had a great sermon this past Sunday, sitting in my church. A great sermon about, you know, making sure that if you are really trying to modify your life and live for the better, that you're really going to commit to it. And then at the end, they have people come up. And I'm sure that they have the best of intentions. But then at some point, I stopped being generous about that. I'll explain. They had people come up and they were saying, oh, well, we have this program that we're doing now for people who are coming up at the southern border and that are refugees, and we want to help them. I'm like, why are you doing that? We have like a whole system for that process, the refugee process here in the United States. And if they're going about it the right way, they don't have to rely on all of these other extra groups. So I was immediately curious, like, what do you mean you have this whole thing that you're going to help people coming in across the border as refugees? Because not everyone's a refugee. In fact, the vast majority are not. Like the overwhelming majority are not. Just like the overwhelming majority are not asylees. But the way that it was put in the context following the sermon was that somehow you are not being the best you that you could be as a person of faith unless you were assisting lawlessness. As though somehow expecting to give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's is somehow a sin now. I love how we're rewriting scripture. And I sat there in the pew and every now and then I hear something and I get very critical because I'm one of the people that I do really rely on spiritual leanings to keep me in and faith to keep me on the straight and narrow because I am a brawlsome, very confrontational person by nature. A lot of fun and very nice. But I really, really have to seek the Lord's guiding hand. And I'm sitting there in church and I'm listening to this and I just kind of fidget a little bit. I'm like, why is this being presented this way? I think that if you're going to be a shepherd, then you have the additional responsibility of making sure that you get these things correct. You don't get a pass because you're a shepherd. In fact, you should know if you're going to present this as a policy in the church, then you need to be well educated on it. And I've talked to Border Patrol. I've been to the border. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to all these people and covered this and been down there and seen things and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm telling you that the vast majority of it, it's not asylees and it's not refugees. It's people that are exploiting weak and porous southern border. And the cartels are getting rich off it. And I find it incredibly ironic that the people who are out there finger wagging and claiming that they care so much about the welfare of these other people that are simply trying to find a better way of life are the very people that are doing the most to enrich the cartels that makes their lives a living hell in the first place. They are the ones who are making sure those cartels get their checks for bringing people across the border. They are the ones who are making sure that the cartels get their checks for bringing in fentanyl and drugs. They are the ones who make sure that the cartels are operating because they go and try to tell people that expecting a lawful, organized, non-chaotic entry into the United States is somehow sinful and that you are not doing your duty as a Christian. I get really tired of hearing about that. I don't know about y'all, but I get real tired of it. And to hear this Pope say it, I'm not a fan of this Pope. I'm not Catholic, but I'm not a moron, and I'm not a fan of this Pope. I like that Ratzinger guy. To say that this is madness, well, you can't leave people there. Well, what are you doing in these countries to restart a spiritual resurgence that gets them living right and gets their leaders acting right and doing their due diligence to their people? Because it is not the responsibility of us and our leaders to make sure that they and their leaders do their job. And if you're going to be the head of the church and be the head of the spiritual body of that country, then that's your job. Where are you in that effort? Because assisting people in sin is not godly. Assisting people and making them easier in sin is not being a good representation of Jesus. Assisting people and making it easier in their sin is not serving as the hands and feet of God. And I hate that I am a woman that has to say this because I am very much aligned with Paul and that I think that women should be quiet because y'all aggravate me. Why am I saying this? I find that offensive. So this all being said, and I see this all the time. I see people out there who are like, oh, I'm going to, you know, like I like the people are like, I'm going to put all the rainbow stuff and everything else while I'm also acting like a shepherd of the church, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm going to blur the lines between what is love and then what is affirmation, because apparently a lot of people who are leading in the church can't even tell the difference anymore. I have a lot of issues with this. But this one was one of the biggest ones. One of the biggest ones. And I don't know, I heard the Pope say that and I got mad. A lot of my Catholic friends that are hardcore Catholic were very upset with us. I'm like, well. And I understand their sentiments. They're unhappy. But that's madness. I mean, where's the consistency? If you think it's bad to come into the southern border lawfully, then it should be bad that I have to keep my shoulders covered to go in your church, right? It is an issue of respect, correct? If you think it's bad that we should expect people to be able to be who they say they are and come in and have an organized, non-chaotic entry, then it is equally as bad to expect people to send their belongings through X-ray machines and go through numerous security checkpoints just to access certain parts of the Vatican, correct? I mean, if we're keeping consistency, don't stop the migrants from where they are. You know, Vatican City is its own city-state. Do you guys know bridges are magical? I can't believe this is an issue. But it was. There's a bridge in Florida that apparently everybody got mad over. The bridges are supposed to be in red, white, and blue. They're these like light bridges. They have the Ringling Causeway and the Sunshine Skyway. And this was apparently a big, big deal. I did not know this. They have this big, I mean, it looks, you know, nice big bridge. And they usually keep it just red, white, and blue, right? Well, apparently the Alphabet activists were demanding that it be lit up in the colors of the rainbow for pride, which is a sin, by the way, pride. And it was supposed to be a celebration of Pride Month. And they usually it's all red, white, and blue between May 27th and September 2nd as part of the Florida Freedom Summer effort. And they lift the sales tax and all, they celebrate all this stuff. So anyway, they said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to be doing the rainbow stuff. We're not doing this stuff. We're not going to fight over this. This is not what's going to happen. And so now here are the headlines, like the Herald Tribune. DeSantis, Florida bridges to glow red, white, and blue, not rainbow during Pride Month. And people were asking, does DeSantis think bridges make people gay? Well, do you think that not lighting a bridge prevents them from being gay? It is a bridge that is being lit. Why does it have to affirm how you get it on? Can you stop? Now the bridges have to be lit in a way that affirms how you have sex? The hell's wrong with you? Stop obsessing over what you do with your bits. Live your lives and quit obsessing over your junk and other people's junk and what the junk does. Stop it. Go out and live lives. Let people light the bridge in red, white, and blue. It's a unifying thing. Not everything has to affirm how you get it on. Not your goldfish crackers, not your mouthwash, and not how your bridge has to be lit. Good heavens. We have more on the way as we roll towards the bottom of this second hour. And as we do so, our partners, we got good people that help bring you free radio. Patriot Mobile is, they're good people. And one of the fun things, the cool things that they do is that they really put their money where their mouth is, where it concerns protecting the things that you vote against. And Patriot Mobile has amazing plans. I mean, you can, with Patriot Mobile, you can get a plan tailor-made for you, your family of whatever size it is, your business, no matter what size your business is. If you're a dink, you know, like, what is it? The dual income, no kid people. If you're those people, they got plans for you, got plans for everybody. Patriot Mobile covers absolutely everyone. And they have the best, most dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service, but you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're going to save money. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade. The choice is yours. They have a 100% based U.S. customer service team that makes switching easy. And I saw on Facebook, I don't know if I can say it now, but I saw on Facebook that they're also giving 2 months of free service. Of course, you can also get free activation using code Dana. If you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, they had it on their Facebook page. You can get 2 months of free service, too. So that's a really cool thing to think about. And again, free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, I hate bureaucracy. So I don't do yoga, but yoga teachers are threatening legal action in San Diego because they had park rangers that shut down their beachside classes. Now, what did y'all think you were voting for this whole time, like in California? You want big government. You want a lot of bureaucratic restrictions. This is the stuff that you get, right? So instructors, they say that because the city has banned free beachside classes, they want vendor laws. They have vendor laws. So you have to pay a fee because they want that tax money. They want the fee money. They want all that stuff from it. And so they said, you can't be exempt. And yoga classes, doesn't matter if you're a donation or not, they're not exempt. So they're suing for that. Low testosterone in men is linked to an early death. This is something that I think they've known about for a long time. It was a university study, and they looked at, University of Western Australia. They looked at 11 high-quality studies, a meta-analysis, looking at the effects of testosterones on lifespan. And they followed men for about 5 years and found that participants with the lower T levels were likely to die earlier. I've heard of this before, though. Heart disease is still the leading cause of death in men globally. But they said that a lot of this, though, there's a lot of stuff that's related to testosterone. They're still studying it, but they said that we've known that low T numbers are really damaging to men. So, and that explains why betas die early. Anyway, Diddy, they said, can't be prosecuted over a 2016 video, says the LADA. Now they go, here's why, in a really poorly written headline, which they bury at 5,000 graphs deep. They're talking about the statute of limitations and stuff, and they said that it's beyond that. He'd made a video. I don't care about any of this. Everybody knows he's trash. I don't care. I don't even follow this stuff, but apparently he made a video coming out and saying that he was messed up and he's sorry he did it, blah, 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 blah. I stopped caring. Zombie second mortgages are coming to life, threatening thousands of people's homes. Sounds like a horror film, but it's true. They said that the second mortgages, a lot of people taking second mortgages out. And after the housing crash in 2008, millions of people were asking for modifications. Remember, they were saying, oh, the second mortgage, that can be forgiven as part of your modification. So this is a big thing that's happening to tons of homeowners. And it really is on there's a huge number of it on the Eastern Seaboard, which I think is kind of interesting. That's a whole other deep dive, I think. Let's see. The human brain has been shrinking and nobody knows why. It's because our society is stupid is why. I think it's because our society is stupid and we are living in an idiocracy. But there have been studies on this where they said the human brain in the 6 million years since our species apparently shared a common ancestor, that it expanded, and now our brains are shrinking. I blame bad music and communism and just a horrible society. AI chatbot has finally acknowledged that AI could actually cause the downfall of humanity. Today in Duh. Coming up, we got some culture for you. There's like apparently a trans Jedi now because everything's got to be stupid. I don't know. Stick with us. We're all going to jump off the bridge.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today in Georgia, they won't allow water to be available to you while you wait in line to vote in an election.
This is so
what
stupid.
In the hell is that all about?
This is so stupid.
I'm serious. Think about it.
Let me tell you what it's all about, you old turd. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour. That had to do with after COVID and the lockdowns and all this stuff, and you remember that different states, some of them weren't even going by their constitutional requirements, were changing voting requirements and regulations, whether you could vote earlier and longer or later or drop off ballots, didn't even have your signatures on them. It was just, you know, a big old free-for-all. And there were a lot of states that had to change their constitutions and put out ballot initiatives to do so. And Georgia was one of those states. I actually think they weakened their voter laws in response to COVID, but that's a whole other discussion. What this is about, though, is about electioneering. It doesn't matter who you are. You can't be a part of a campaign and go into a polling place where someone is waiting in line to vote and start handing them, as a part of a campaign, water and food. Because that is considered electioneering, and it is illegal, and it applies to everyone, regardless of your political affiliation. I can't believe I have to explain this the way that I have to explain a shape shorter to work to a toddler. But apparently that's the IQ of this president. You can't do that. I can't be for one campaign and go into a political precinct, go into the people who are standing in line and offer them water, because that can be misconstrued as I am offering something in exchange for a vote of support. It doesn't matter what your politician you're supporting. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. That is illegal everywhere. That's what they're talking about. And can I add that if you are too damn stupid to bring your own water and snack to go and wait for a few minutes before you cast a vote, you might be too dumb to vote. If you don't know how to take care of yourself and bring your own toddler snacks and your own sippy cup, then maybe you should just spare us all the penalty of your vote. Good grief. That's what this is. And Biden tries to make it literally a race issue. It has nothing to do with race. Oh my gosh. It has nothing to do with race. But he tries to make it a race issue. Like, people are out there just looking at the skin color of people waiting to vote, and then they're determining based upon their skin color whether or not they can have water or not. You can't make this stuff up. By the way, it's not anyone's responsibility to make sure that you're hydrated if you're standing in line. And might I add, if you are dissatisfied with the amount of time that you must wait to stand in line to vote, or if you are dissatisfied with your polling precinct and dissatisfied with how it is run, or dissatisfied with the number of machines or how the machines operate or the people that are running it or the amount of ballots that are present, then you have to take it up with the party that runs that precinct. And by and large, guess what? As someone who lived in downtown St. Louis and now as someone who lovingly lives in the burbs, I've experienced both ends of the spectrum. It's typically when you are in a blue-dominated area that it runs like crap. So if you are dissatisfied with the way that your polling precinct is being operated, then maybe perhaps you should take a look at the party affiliation that is in charge and running that area for you. Insane. I can't believe this has to be explained. I can't believe anybody would fall for this stuff. But he actually used that as a line. He was at Morehouse College and he was trying to trot out the hits. I bet Biden never mentioned that he thought it was a racial jungle to actually integrate schools. Do you think he brought that one up in his remarks? Because that's one of the things that he said repeatedly ad nauseum in his early days in political office, like back in the days of yore. He was a big segregationist. He didn't want schools to be integrated. He told a camera, he said on camera, the audio is out there on YouTube, that he thought that it would be a racial jungle. This guy. But he thinks that if you can't electioneer in line, then it's racist. I can't even wrap my head around this stuff. This is who this family is. He has no shame. But you know what? They're given a pass. Speaking of his son, Hunter Biden apparently wants his tax trial held until September. But the judge has said there's not going to be any significant delay of plans. The president's son asked last week U.S. District Judge Mark Scarzi to move the June 20th trial date to September. And he was saying that it was conflicting with his gun case out of Delaware because that goes to trial on June 3rd. And he said, nope. He said, you're ignoring key scheduling deadlines. Hunter Biden was already warned that he was ignoring deadlines to keep the case on track at his own peril. And they're going to proceed to trial without significant delay. And they're trying to act like 50-something-year-old Biden, Hunter Biden, baby Hunter Biden, 50-something, midlife 50-something-years-old is, oh, they're just being so mean to him and it's so stressful. Maybe he shouldn't have been a drug user. And he had no reason to be one. He was brought up literally in a lap of luxury, a life of luxury. He had a father who had public office. I mean, for the love, come on. He wanted for nothing and it shows. Now, a few other things on this. We've been, got a couple of other things I wanted to make sure that we're hitting on. There's a lot of stuff. So we were talking about the magical bridges, of course. Of course we were. We talked about the ICC a little bit earlier, the International Criminal Court. We were also talking about the Iranian crash. Can we just like hit in right now? Can we just, let's just check in. I want to cite this. Audio soundbite 18. So Elise Stefanik was on with Shannon Bream. Now, let me tell you something. I've known Shannon Bream is one of the most innocuous people in all of broadcasting. And I don't mean that as like a slight on her character. She's a very good reporter. She's usually like a SCOTUS reporter. And that's how she really got started. And she's a very even keeled, very kind person. She's a devout Christian. And I think that she does a better job at demonstrating her faith in the public eye than most of the people in the industry. And so I have a lot of good things to say about her. She's not a partisan. She's not super zealous. I mean, obviously, she's a conservative. I mean, clearly she's got, you know, she doesn't lie to you about that. But she's not a zealot. And she wants to do her job because she feels she's one of the very few people, I think, that's in broadcasting that in terms of journalism, I work in commentary. So obviously, I'm going to tell you that I'm biased. She's got biases overall in terms of ideology, but she also wants to make sure that, you know, you get the news of the story and she's not going to mix her opinions into it beyond she's a conservative. So anyway, I was really shocked by this audio soundbite. And Elise Stefanik, I got to say, Elise Stefanik was not called on something that isn't known. Elise Stefanik, I think in the early days of her campaign, she was not a big Trump ally. She wasn't. And this isn't anything that anybody's making up. This is not anything that is new. People have comments that live out on the public record. You know, she has said stuff before. She's kind of a moderate. She's a moderate. Let's just say she's a moderate. I remember when she first started coming onto the scene, and this was back in like 2020. And 2021, when she was trying to replace Liz Cheney as the House GOP conference chair. And it was then that she was really turning towards being a Trump ally. But I got to tell you, back in 2015, she was not. She criticized him over NATO. And I actually talked about that on air. Because my point was, you can't simultaneously accuse him of gutting NATO when he is expanding it, regardless of what your position is on NATO. And I wasn't being mean, but hers was one of the comments from people on the right that I had included in a collection of comments where I'm like, this isn't actually representative of what he's doing, of what he is saying. She was a critic, and a lot of this happened too at the time after his election with Angela Merkel and all of that stuff. The border wall, his remarks about immigration and some things like that. She didn't endorse a candidate in the 2016 primary, and she was critical of him. She was, and this was back in 2015, 2016. This is a fact. This isn't a lie. And I'm fine with people changing their minds on things. And I'm also fine with people, as everyone should be, if you want to assume and be cautious about somebody without no record and they prove you wrong and they do well, that's a great thing. Can we all agree with that? Or are we all acting like that's a bad thing because we're trying to keep score? I don't understand what some people's priorities are anymore. The reason I say this up is because I was really shocked by her tone here with Shannon Bream. This is audio soundbite 18. Listen to this.
Question is when, more importantly, why did you change your mind about President Trump?
Well, Shannon, it's a disgrace that you would quote the New York Times with nameless, faceless,
but they're
false
quoting your
sources.
Friends, so I'm giving you a chance
to respond to Shannon,
that.
Shannon, they're not quoting my friends. Those names are not included because they are false smears. I was attacked.
To be fair, there are a number of names.
No, Shannon,
of people.
Shannon,
just to be fair, there are a number of names
Shannon,
of people
no, no,
who
Shannon,
are quoted in the
you.
Article.
Shannon, let me
people
correct
can read
you.
It for themselves.
This is a false smear, and let me tell you a fact, Shannon. In 2016, I was attacked as the only elected Republican from the Northeast who voted for President Trump. Democrats spent hundreds of thousands of dollars attacking me for that fact. So to say that I didn't support him is just false. I have been proud to be one of the strongest supporters, going back to when he ran for 2016, which was when it was my first reelection to the House.
Okay, so it's not nameless, baseless stuff. The New York Times is quoting, it was an interview that she had given. It was a radio station interview that she gave in 2015 in New York, and they're quoting the interview. So it's not like what she said in the interview. It's not like a nameless, faceless source. It is an actual interview that she gave with her own mouth in 2015. Now, I'm not saying this to be I don't want people to be purists with this stuff. I hate that. But I think that's a legitimate question, and I don't think that Bream was asking that to try to get at her. Bream was asking that as a way to say, this is a great opportunity. This is my interpretation of it. This is a great opportunity for you to evangelize why you changed and what made you think differently as a way to reach out to those voters who may not be all the way on board because he needs every vote going into November. Agreed? Why? I thought that the way that Stefanik reacted to that was completely over the top. I thought it was unprofessional. And I have bitched about media bias longer than this chick has been in office. And I'm just going to say that there's media bias and then there's not media bias. And saying that something is media bias when it isn't actually does a disservice to the hard work that a lot of us have done over the past couple of decades against media bias, award-winning work. So I don't think that that was fair. And I don't think it was accurate. And I think that it made a lot of smoke over a very small fire. And she wasn't asking her that to get at her for something. I mean, all I know is that there are a group of independent voters out there that are trying to figure out. We got two dudes that we're looking at. This is what these independents are thinking. They got two dudes that they're looking at. And they're trying to figure out which dude they want to go through. Although I honestly, I'm like, they both have held office. Really, is it a comparison? But I digress. It is great. It's a great tool of political witness to be able to explain to people why you changed your position and what did it. And she messed up that opportunity. That's a bad strategist. You messed up that opportunity to explain it because you got upset over not a fake article. It quoted an interview you gave to a New York radio station in 2015 that's still available online. So I don't know where this, just because the New York Times cited an interview you did doesn't mean that it's false. Not everything is. And I just thought that was ridiculous. And I didn't think it made her look good. And Bream is not one of the people that you... Bream is not an enemy. So I don't know. I can't stand when I see stuff like that. And it also signaled to me that there's still a lot of the purism enforcement that needs to stop. I feel like the people that are enforcing purity tests are commie plants who don't want to win. You either want to win or you don't. And if you're driving away votes, you're a communist and you should be ostracized. That's just how I look at it. But that was ridiculous. I thought her reaction was ridiculous.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, first, I want to get to the guy who threw a package of Oreos because I'm going to be like, how you doing Oreos like that? They're delicious. But a man did it. And he got mad at his wife over an empty coffee pot. They were arguing over their coffee maker. And 70-year-old John Sandoval threw a package of Oreos at his wife. And I don't know, they've been married for over 40 years. And it said that he became aggressive and threw the package at her. And it hit her in the chest and it caused her to fall. And then he did try to choke her out. So, okay, that was, but it said her airways weren't restricted. I was like, if she just threw the Oreos at her and then she called the police, it's kind of, I don't know. Apparently the police said that they didn't observe any obvious injuries, but he admitted, he said he didn't have any recollection of strangling her, but they charged him with felony domestic battery just on the instance of the Oreo throwing alone. That seems like a lot, just going to say. That seems just, you know, a little bit, I don't know. A Florida man was shot dead after climbing into a stranger's bed with a machete. What is with the machetes? And then whispering, "I love you." He was shot dead Thursday because guns save lives after breaking into a stranger's house, getting into bed with a homeowner and whispering, "I love you," while wielding the machete. The victim was asleep in an apartment attached to his home in Fruitville, Florida, when the whole thing happened. He woke up and this guy was laying right next to him with a machete. Now, they have not identified the machete-wielding assailant, but when the victim woke up, that's what the guy was whispering to him. And he goes, he called 911 and he said, quote, "I have an intruder that broke into my house and he's got a damn machete and he's a little whacked." And he goes, "He's telling me, saying I love you. I'm weirded out. He's got a machete." So they said that the home invader also was trying to sharpen the blade with a baseball bat. And after calling for help, the homeowner fled the property. The deputies did shoot the suspect because the guy was not, he charged at the deputies and was trying to cut their hands off. So yeah, that's how you're going to get shot by a cop, is if you charge at a cop trying to kill a cop with a machete, you're going to get shot. So anyway, the deputy that was wounded is going to have surgery on their hand. They said it wasn't life-threatening, but they were pretty critical. Apparently, he might lose a couple of fingers. That's wild. A shirtless Florida man with Wendy's beef was caught on camera robbing the restaurant. We talked about this, but now more is out about it. This was at a Wendy's last week when a man bum-rushed into the restaurant using his fingers as makeshift guns. I have a couple of different stories on this. He was shirtless. And they said they have a no shirt, no service rule. And then he jumped on the table, waved his finger guns again. He's 5'5", and he's 200 pounds. And I don't know how this guy got away, but he did. And they're actually searching for him. So if you know a 5'5", 200-pound guy that likes to run around shirtless at Wendy's with finger guns, then, you know, you need to call Heartland Crime Stoppers. So crazy. Florida man tells deputies, "These aren't my pants," after they did a search and found all kinds of drugs on him. Myrick Hamilton, 47, was arrested on two drug charges in Santa Rosa. While they were searching his shorts, they found all kinds of stuff, like crystal meth. They found all kinds. And he said, "Oh, wait, these aren't my pants that he was wearing." Okay, sure. Third hour on the way. Stephen Yates will join us as well. Stick with us.
It is my stance as a Morehouse man, nay, as a human being, to call for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip.
And Biden applauds it. What is with this? It's not theater. It's just a commencement address. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's from Biden's Morehouse commencement. He was in the audience, like right behind that dude, and he was applauding when that guy called for a ceasefire. But they didn't call for Hamas' ceasefire. It was a ceasefire in defending yourself from Hamas. That's what it was. And Biden's back there, this old geezer, just clapping. I don't even know if he heard. Did he hear? He had to have. Welcome back. Top of this third hour with you, Dana Lash, here. You can listen coast to coast, and you can also stream the radio program, Channel 347, DirecTV. You can find us on X. You can find us on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and we're everywhere. And make sure you go sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, because a lot of good stuff comes out there. I'm looking at... So... It's just a weird statement that, because we've got two things. You have this ICE, this International Criminal Court thing with the guy who's with the ICC and the other two officials that issued this statement this morning. And they're calling out Israel for war crimes. And then you have this Iranian leader who is going to be the number two coming up, who was killed in this helicopter crash. And I don't understand this statement. I'm pulling this up. So this is weird. It was a statement from like a member of our administration. It was the State Department. And they said, quote, it's Matt Miller, who's the department spokesperson. He said, "The United States expresses its official condolences for the death of Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi," who's the foreign minister. And he was going to be, he was being groomed to be the next supreme leader. They said, as Iran selects a new president, we affirm our support for the Iranian people and their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. Why is Matt Miller and the State Department offering up a statement expressing sympathy for the death of a guy, and we went over his hits last hour, called the Butcher of Tehran, who slaughtered thousands of people? There's no actual firm number. They think it's 30,000 or more. He kept torture prisons wherein women were kept and repeatedly raped for torture. He would make sure that any virgin was raped before being put to death to deny her ascendancy to heaven. He executed children. He would go forth and ask people to demonstrate their commitment to Islamic radicalism. And when they would not, they'd be put to death. They had forklifts that would come out. They would bring out forklifts every half hour and hang people. Firing squad, they were hanging them. I mean, absolutely horrific stuff this guy's known and bragged about doing. And our State Department issued a statement of condolence for this. Yet they claim to support the Iran, because in the statement, he says, as Iran selects a new president, we affirm our support for the Iranian people. Okay, he tortured and systematically executed the Iranian people, to say nothing of his involvement in the 2019 deaths and executions. Oh my gosh. So then the State Department, apparently, they're all over the place. Now they're saying, well, you know, we doesn't change our stance towards Iran. This is John Kirby. We're going to hold Iran accountable for destabilizing behavior. I mean, Hezbollah and Hamas are funded by Iran. And that was all operated by Rossi, this guy. Wow. So this is just so embarrassing. This is so insane and ridiculous that they would come out with this statement. And I don't know. They're expressing, from our State Department, from Matt Miller, to express condolences for the Butcher of Tehran is absolutely heinous. Heinous. So I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. But this combined with this situation with the ICC. Now, I will say, let me pull this up. Bear with me here. Because the president apparently did say, or the White House, they called the ICC arrest warrants against Israeli leaders outrageous and said what the prosecutor might imply, there's no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. Will they, though? Will they stand behind them? We'll see. Because actions speak louder than words here. But I am still just, wow, that they released any kind of statement of condolence for the Butcher of Tehran. But that explains it, though, doesn't it? I mean, think about the way that they have been so careful with Iran and eased sanctions and allowed them to make money off of crude and everything else. And they've been very, very easy-handed with them. Does it really shock you that they would issue a statement of condolences? Just heinous. But that's the administration. They're all over the place. So Kirby seems to be walking back some of what Matt Miller's statement had said. This administration's all over the place. They're all over the place. We're going to talk to Stephen Yates about this coming up, because my heavens, there is, it's stunning. Meanwhile, we talked about some of the culture stuff. We were talking a little bit earlier about the ICC, those arrest warrants, et cetera, et cetera. It's so insane. And we're going to get into some of the stuff with China as well coming up. And we had some of the 2024 stuff. I wanted to pull up, because I have a couple of, I wanted to go back and switch gears here, because we had a big fight in the House. Audio soundbite 15. Apparently it's still going. But somebody, I just think, I'm going to play this audio soundbite, and then I'm going to present to you. If you're going to fundraise off of your name being in the news, and you're going to make merchandise, you might want to check for any typos. First off, you guys remember last week, Marjorie Taylor Greene hit out at Jasmine Crockett, and her fake eyelashes or whatever, and it went from there. Crockett is still hitting back. Green was hitting back. Crockett, it's still ongoing. Audio soundbite 15.
So absolutely, she was what we call engaging in personalities, and therefore her words were to be stricken, and therefore she was to be kicked out of committee for the rest of the evening. But instead, that is not what the chairman did. And the idea that I should just sit there and pretend that I'm on the plantation and that we are not both duly elected members of Congress and I'm just supposed to take it, I did not lodge back with another personal attack against her. I asked for clarification and a hit dog hollered.
I'm already bored of their fight. Are you bored of their fight? Do you really think it's a big deal? I think Green said something. I don't think Crockett responded in any way that was, and I don't care, but I do think it's funny. I don't know if you guys, the rounds were going on Twitter. So she apparently came out, Crockett did, with some merch, except there was a typo in her name. So her last name is Crockett, and it's spelled C-R-O-C-K-E-T-T. So she apparently has a t-shirt that's supposed to say the Crockett clapback, the Crockett clapback, but it says Crockett clapback. It's C-R-O-C-K-R-T-T, Crockett clapback. And someone asked, well, who's Crockett? And she goes, order a shirt and you will see. So apparently it's a typo. Tell me that she did not print Crockett clapback on all of these shirts that she now has and is apparently selling. Oh my gosh. Crockett clapback. I just can't. I mean, that's her own name. How do you not spell your own name right on your own merchandise? I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there. So that's ongoing still. Their slap fight. And I guess, what is it? AOC got mad. Lorraine caught it, that AOC got mad that, apparently, John Fetterman had said that this whole thing was like Jerry Springer, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got mad and said that it was, that he's bullying. I am so done with this whole topic. Why is this still ongoing? Isn't there audio of this? Yeah, audio soundbite 16. This was Fetterman responding to this. Listen.
Oh, well, of course, that's absurd. I was just simply responding to the kind of chaos and everything that Representative Green started as well. And if everyone on the committee was proud of what they've produced, they're entitled to their opinion. Or if they feel that this is the kind of a video that you want to send to a classroom of 8th grade civics kind of students across America, again, that's their choice.
I mean, I'm telling you, it seems they're trying to milk that for all they can. He actually seems smarter the longer, the more he recovers, like the sharper he seems compared to all of the other Democrats. Now, on immigration, apparently Chuck Schumer is going to be reintroducing his failed version of the border bill again this week. And it includes nothing new. It's not about border security. It's all about election stuff. It's all about gimmies and freebies and everything else. So apparently it's being pushed in the Senate. Schumer wants to include parts of the bill that look at reforming, i.e. breaking down asylum laws and fentanyl. But he apparently not at all in the draft that currently exists. It doesn't include the 5,000 illegal crossings per day. There's nothing in there to deal with that, which seems kind of problematic. This is a non-serious thing, but they're going to try to get this going now that we're transitioning into summer. All this is going to amp up as we get closer to November.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So OpenAI said that they confirmed Friday that they did, in fact, disband a team devoted to mitigating the long-term dangers of AI. They said it was their super alignment group, and they were integrating members into other projects and research, according to the firm. They said, yes, there are risks to AI. Now I'm worried. I get more worried the more I hear about it. Why? Who steals Bud Light? Well, I don't know. Apparently these thieves did. And this was in Fort Worth. WFAA says that two dudes stole cases of Bud Light at gunpoint. You have to steal it. No one would have thought otherwise. Nobody cares. Two guys stole three cases of beer at gunpoint from a gas station in Fort Worth. This actually is on White Settlement Road. And it took place last week, 1 a.m. I'm shocked that anybody would steal it. That's, wow. Like, you're going to go to that length and for Bud Light? Oh, my gosh. A sex offender was arrested after faking a death to avoid registering as a convicted sex offender, according to an Arizona sheriff. Benjamin Hollins had a woman falsely report that she saw him jump off a bridge in Arizona, but they never found his body. And so 7 months after that, they said that because they wasted a lot of resources apparently looking for his body. And they said it wasn't found because he was never dead. So he did that as a way to not have to report as a sexual offender. That's something. I mean, I've heard about a lot of things. It's something else entirely. Canned food was raining down from a Portland 23-story high rise, and nobody has any idea who in the world is behind it. This story from First the Independent. They said it was in Portland, and there were like cans of food smashing down onto the streets below this huge building in Portland, and people were obviously very concerned about what's going on, but they could never figure out who was involved in it. Apparently it hit a car. It's been hitting cars, all kinds of stuff. So they're investigating. How does that even happen? This is in Canada. A guy made a giant wooden phallus with a chainsaw as a front yard lawn ornament in Montreal. And the town has been trying to get him to take it down. And he was arrested, apparently, by state troopers. And he's fighting to have the charges dismissed. He said it's a chainsaw carving, and it's right in his front yard. And it is apparently accurate, I guess. I don't know. Why do people? I don't know. Star Wars is apparently going to be debuting a non-binary Jedi because they haven't ruined enough. Disney hasn't ruined enough. Ever since Disney's taken over everything, the acquisition of Lucasfilm by Disney, they already had Kathleen Kennedy say the Force was female, which sounds like a menstruation commercial. But now they're saying that they're introducing in their Tales of the Empire, there's going to be some kind of like non-binary Jedi. Why does anybody even care? Coming up, Stephen Yates is going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to touch on, including the warship that's now apparently docking in Cambodia. We're going to talk about that and so much more. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour, and you can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio program. Find us on Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, Facebook, everywhere. And what are the topics that we've been discussing just a little bit earlier? We talked about this last week, the tariffs on China, the reappropriating of the previous administration's position on this by the Biden administration, and then a very interesting story about just some Chinese warships just hanging out in Cambodia. No big deal. So, of course, on this, and then we've got to ask him about Iran, our very good friend Stephen Yates, who is obviously, you guys know him, he's on with us all the time, every Monday, Yates Comms on X, which I keep wanting to call Twitter, senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative and host of China Desk, a podcast where he focuses on our biggest geopolitical foe. So before I get into Iran and all of this other stuff, should we be kind of freaked out that we've got not one but two warships just chilling from China in Cambodia right now?
Well, it's very, very clear evidence that this supposed economic development plan called Belt and Road Initiative has turned into something that is not only a debt trap for potential recipients, and maybe you get a crummy stadium or toll road that works for a while, but it also gets militarized. And so when the Chinese start having their naval vessels kind of do friendly port calls around some of the same route, it's all goodwill. And so, You know, this is something that was kind of foreseen and talked about. And those of us who were warning about this were sort of treated like the sixth sense boy that everywhere we look, we see dead people. But just like the movie, it turns out we do.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Commies. You see them everywhere you look because they're there with their big giant warships. Apparently, they've been there for 5 months. And it was said that they were going to take part in a joint Cambodian-Chinese military exercise. But then they were also involved in training some Cambodian sailors and things like this. And they're testing the new pier. You know, they had to show up to test it to see what was in it.
So well, of all the headlines we've been covering, the threatened invasion of Cambodia is not something I've heard a lot about since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And so, and if anyone was going to invade them, it probably would be China. And so this is just a warning to Southeast Asia that China not only has very expansive claims on the South Sea, which we shall not call China's, mm-hmm. they also have this infiltration around all ports, rivers, and other interior areas of Southeast Asia, too.
Is this enough to consider that China's like establishing some sort of military base in Cambodia, then? I mean, if they're there for 5 months, I mean, that's nearly half a year.
Well, this is, I think, evidence of the Chinese Communist Party being exactly what they have lied they were not for as long as they've existed. But they are imperialist. They are expansionist. They are empire builders. What all those words really are supposed to mean. And so when they are not satisfied sort of screwing things up enough at home, they start internationalizing some of that. And I think Southeast Asia is one of the very near doorstep areas that has to watch out for this. But it goes as far as Africa and Latin America and parts of the Middle East, and really in some of our backyard areas too. Yeah. And so this is, I think, just evidence that the CCP is not just a domestic issue and how sad it is that Chinese people have human rights problems. This is expansionism under the CCP, and it will have implications that we hope don't bring us into war, but we better find ways to balance and share the burden with our allies so that we don't get dragged in.
Are we in a cold war with them right now, with China, with all the tariffs and a lot of the other, it seems like bit by bit escalation in terms of policy towards, I wouldn't say hostile policy, but just some of the things that we've seen, that we've taken, steps that we've taken as a country over the past couple of years. Is it escalating? Are we at that point already where it's considered such?
Well, we're definitely in a cold war, whether we like it or not. I think for a long time it's been declared on us and it's been underway. It was underway during all the soothing years when we thought that reform and opening and responsible stakeholder and other kinds of slogans were going to be true. And that back when the dream was that the World Trade Organization would change China's behavior as opposed to China changing the World Trading Organization's behavior. And so the bubble has been burst at this point. I have a good friend, Dmitry Alperovich, who has a book called The World on the Brink. He makes it very, very clear from historical examples that what we went through with the Soviet Union before we acknowledged we were in a Cold War there has striking parallels to what we've been dealing with China. And that he would argue it's actually counterfactual that we didn't have economic dependencies with the Soviet Union at the time. And his book, I think, is a really profound wake-up call. It makes the point it's been declared on us. And it's really just a choice of, are we going to respond and sort of take it seriously from the grassroots up here?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X, because this, we've got the warships in Cambodia, we've got the tariffs, we've got some of these other positions that we've taken. How does this, I mean, obviously China's watching everything that we're doing going into November, but what becomes of that? Where does this go? Is there further escalation after this? I mean, we talked about the tariffs and how we don't really get a lot of like actual whole EVs coming from China. This is kind of a hit at Tesla, although Tesla's Shanghai factory just makes it for their Chinese market. But where do you see this going as we gear towards November?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party has always taken what we make readily available. And so if we have provocative weakness continuing to lead the United States, if we continue to be at war against ourselves, when it comes to energy and economic development or what have you. We just make it easy for the CCP to sort of pick whatever the nearest easy reach is for them to divide and conquer us, rise in relative power versus us, etc. But you know, if we kind of wake up and are masters of our own domain, so to speak, and we revive energy, we revive our institutions, we get serious about being America again, then all these things get easier to deal with. And that's really the question. This election isn't really a foreign policy election, but if we don't get our domestic situation right, there is no foreign policy for the United States.
Yeah, that's huge. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates at Yates.com. So Taiwan's new president this is something nice. I wouldn't do it. Extending goodwill towards China. What is with this about? Tell me this. So the story from Reuters, Taiwan's new president is extending some goodwill towards China. With this, I don't know, his inaugural speech, I get it that he's got peace on the mind. He doesn't want to necessarily go out and seek war. But tell me about this, because, I mean, I think you can be peaceful without being accommodating or compromising. Is that what this is?
So William Lai is the new president of Taiwan. They call their name the Republic of China under their constitution. I don't play those silly games with silly constitutions of World War II vintage. They call it Taiwan. I call it Taiwan. He is a very, very smart and strong person and a strong mind, despite the fact that he went to Harvard and is a doctor. Those are two things what I wouldn't have picked for a chief executive, but here we are. But I'd have no concern whatsoever in him being a wilting lily. There's a lot of loaded jargon in what he said, and the top commies will get all of it. It sounds accommodating to the English-speaking world, but it's all concepts the commies will never swallow. Like, the more we move towards democracy, that we can have a better relationship with a future democratic China. Well, the Communist Party has no interest in moving towards a democratic future. Holds out the notion of having cultural connections and ties there. This is basically the game that the Western world has forced the Taiwanese to have to play to assuage the free world's worries. This is not about convincing China. China only responds to force. And basically what he's saying is democracy is so deep in Taiwan that you can't swallow us and you can't co-opt us as much as you try.
I love that. I want to switch gears and ask you about Iran, because you had what was going to be their second incoming, their new supreme leader. And, you know, Iran and China have such a close relationship. The death of this leader, which it seems... I know there was a lot of conspiracy theories. Did somebody take him out? It looked like the guy flew his chopper into a very, you know, foggy area, low visibility. So, you know, death by stupid. But what is up with our State Department and Matt Miller issuing this statement saying that they give condolences for this guy, the butcher of Tehran, while at the same time he's expressing support for the Iranian people that this guy murdered, like brutalized by something like, they don't even have a hardcore number on it. It's like 30,000 maybe. Is this maybe, can we make the case for sanctions again?
Well, there's two things going on now that are in the world of stupid. And the one is, I just have a simple rule. I'm a simple person. But if you are leading a country that's listed as a state sponsor of terror and your leader goes out, screw you. I don't care. One less bad guy, whether it happened because someone did him in or he got into a bad helicopter, whether it was because sanctions had made it so they could only get cheap Chinese helicopters. Oh. Don't care. Don't care. But the other thing is, if you're the International Court of Criminals, which I call them, and you don't already have this SOB under some form of trial, arrest, indictment, or whatever, then get off my lawn about the elected leader of Israel.
That's a great point, because that's what those clowns at the International Clown Court did. They went out and said, we want war crimes charges against Israel for defending themselves. Nothing about this guy. I mean, 2019, all of the murders, the executions, this guy had torture prisons where women were tortured and raped to death. I mean, this guy, they murdered kids. They would have you know, all of this, for those who don't. I mean, they would have asked these questions to determine someone's devotion to Islamic radicalism. And if they messed up, then they were executed. Didn't matter if they were a kid or adult. And the fact that the ICC never said anything about this is just, that's clown show. You're right.
And the State Department not forcefully saying that this is an illegitimate court. I mean, you'd think that the Bobos in charge at Foggy Bottom would be concerned that when they leave office, this illegitimate court could indict them.
Right.
Because last I checked, even though the Biden administration has tried to be equidistant and all of this with regard to this conflict, as far as the terrorists concerned, the Biden administration is just as culpable as Bibi's administration in this conflict. And so an indictment of him is a first shot for a future indictment for the Biden administration.
Ooh. One last quick question, too, on this, because Miller came out with his statement and then Kirby seemed to be walking it back. That was a mess, just like it was a mess how apparently, you know, Israel wasn't a part of any of the conversation a couple of weeks ago with the so-called treaty where they were only going to get dead hostages back. And apparently no one in the Biden administration told our only ally in the Middle East that, you know, we're negotiating with Doha and all this, you know, you're just not going to be privy to it. How much of a mess is this foreign policy of this administration?
It's a travesty. I mean, really, there's a lot of things that are relatively easy and they find a way to screw them up. I used to try to be critical of them and say that they weren't serious about national security or hard power, and they were really only about comm strategy. But now they've proven completely inept at comm strategy. And so there's really not a lot left. Really, the most negotiation that's gone on in D.C. in the last few hours has been between spokesmen. It hasn't been solving a budget gap. It hasn't been making America's homeland more secure. It hasn't been getting America out of wars. It's been trying to get the noodle brains that are trying to talk talking points to get on the same sheet of music and maybe on the American sheet of music for once.
Yeah, that's true. Stephen Yates, always a pleasure. And folks, make sure you go check out his podcast, ChinaDeskPodcast.com, for deep dives on all this stuff. That's a very intriguing topic, the Cold War with China. Always a pleasure. We're so grateful you share your expertise with us. You come and slum it with us. We're so grateful. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course, you too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
He is so full of shit, this guy. Terrible. No, I have fake tapper. They said, I just want to debate this guy, but you know, and I'm gonna demand a drug test too. By the way, I am. No, I really am. I don't want him coming in like the State of the Union. He was high as a kite.
Well, he was pretty like off for State of the Union. There was. Trump talking about Biden, then he's going to drug test him before the debate, he says. Just do a drug test. I'm just curious, like, what would his crash be like if they got him all doped up like he did a debate? What would that crash be like? They're supposed to, again, the debates come in, what is it, June, coming up in June and then September, the two debates. And the Trump camp is apparently, they've agreed to the demands that Biden placed on them. I guess they just want to get them done with and get it over. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. I'm kind of curious. How amped up is Biden going to be? Because you know that there are times when he gives addresses where he seems engaged and with it, right? Aware. Not every time, but sometimes. And then other times he's asleep and he looks like he's sleeping. His eyes are like practically shut. I don't know. Maybe they'll give him some of whatever Hunter Biden has, but we'll see. We'll see. So anyway, we'll watch all of that stuff. Now coming up tomorrow, we got some culture stuff. We're going to have Cuba Gooding Jr. on the show this week. We were going to have Tulsi Gabbard on the show today, but they canceled like last minute last night for something. We've been trying to get her booked forever. Because everyone's always like, you're so critical and you ask so many questions about the Second Amendment stuff. Why don't you just have her on? Well, it's not for a lack of trying. It's, you know, we've always been open and have been trying to get everybody on. But I don't know, like it gets to it and then it doesn't happen. So we're going to make it happen at some point. We got Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to be on the program this week as well. And if you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, you'll get an advanced heads up for subscribers. So you're going to know who's going to be coming up on the program throughout the week, etc. And we'll give you those updates as we can. All right. In the meantime, today in stupidity, Steve.
In honor of Kate, I was going to pick one, but in honor of Kate, I'm pretending I am Kate today. So I'm going to pick our president. Oh, boy. This is how he started his speech to the NAACP, and it goes without saying.
My name's Joe Biden, and I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP. But I said that a little earlier to the president. He said, are your dues paid up? I got a check. Oh, my Lord.
Well, didn't he say, like, he would have had to have been 15, wouldn't he have, to sign up for it? Something like that? I can't remember. Anyway, goodness. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. Find us over at Rumble as well. And find us over at Substack. And sign up for that newsletter. It's always good stuff, chapter and verse. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.